Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
So somehow we inexplicably got involved on a conversation on catchphrases and terminology deployed on the show and what would be used in a drinking game. And I said the greatest drinking game challenge I ever had to do with Scarface and having a shot every time Al Pacino's character, Tony Montana, you know, uses some words he shouldn't say. We're going to bring Jack Michaels in momentarily. This texter comes in and says, Bob, the best drinking game for Oilers Now is to have a shot every time Bob says that Taylor Hall is a driver. And then the word optics. Keep up the great work, boys, from Nick on a farm. This is where I mentioned to you, since going to Boston, Taylor Hall has 6 goals, 12 points in 14 games, and is plus 14. He's certainly been a driver, and the optics of that trade are looking pretty good for Toronto. We welcome back to the show, as we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, the one and only Jack Michaels from not just the Oilers Radio Network, but also Sportsnet West's lead play-by-play voice. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. I'm giggling a little bit to myself because I know you hate it when I get all over you about going with group and some of the coach speak. And remember we were talking yesterday, you know, just before the game, casually off-air conversation. We usually do talk, believe it or not, for our audience purposes at least once a day. But you were so close to say guts of the game, and I remember you stammering to think of something else because you knew I'd be all over you if you said it. So that was well done by you yesterday, thinking on the fly and coming up with a different phrase.
Rare when it happens. So when you were at Ithaca College, can you either deny it, or were there the occasional drinking games that you used to participate with?
A ton. The biggest one was, of course, the prefix that ends in hole. That was our favorite card game. But the Century Club is one that I don't think a lot of kids today realize can get you. And that's just a shot of beer for 100 minutes, every 100 minutes. And that one does not sound like much, just a shot of beer. But I'm telling you what, by minute 60 or 70, you're feeling
So one every minute for 100 minutes.
Yes, one every minute for 100 minutes.
When I used to bartend at Moe's Sports Parlor for Super Bowl, we had a contest one year. You had to have a shot for every first down. And it was the year the 49ers played the Chargers, and Steve Young
They had like 38 first downs. They had a Super Bowl record.
Yes. Guys were just hammered. It was really funny. And they weren't, like, I don't know about you, but and maybe the listeners can relate to this, but I found in my early 20s to mid-20s, I had the capacity to break it down a little better, and it started to affect me a little bit more as I got into my late 20s, early 30s. Did you have the same in other words, what I'm saying to you is you have the same alcohol tolerance now that you did when you were a kid?
I don't think any of us do, but drinking games, I liked Whale's Tales. That was a favorite.
What is Whale's Tales?
Whale's Tales, Prince of Wales, Prince Calls Four. You know, you're in a circle of five or six people, and so everyone to the right of you is numbered, and so you've got to be on it. And it's, you know, nay who to you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's like a mental drinking game. And
all right.
then Yeah, and then the other one we always enjoyed, and actually this is one I still play as an adult. I don't know whether it's copacetic now, but you call it drug dealer. And you just deal cards, you know, however many people you have, whether it's 12 or 13 or 14. And the ace is the drug dealer, the king is the cop, and the ace winks at one of the people, and they pause for a little while and then flip their card over and said the deal's been made. And it's incumbent upon the cop to figure out who has the ace. And when you've had a few drinks and, you know, it's getting out there, you can really get yourself in trouble as the cop, because if you miss it, you're in a world of hurt. Now, if you wink at the cop and you're the drug dealer, then it's you chug your beer. So it's another fun game.
All right. Text us 780-496-0063, your favorite drinking games. I brought up the Scarface. Al Pacino, every you-know-what bomb that he drops in that show, you have to have another shot. And most guys
can't.
Well,
that had the record. Did you know that had the record? And it was broken by the Eddie Murphy comedy movie Raw. And then that, in turn, was broken by Goodfellas. So the most F-bombs started Scarface, broken by Eddie Murphy Raw, broken by Goodfellas. So there you go. A little trivia for you.
All right. There you go. All right. Some quick hitters here. And I had some empathy for Mikko. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, he had 929 save percentage previous 10 or 11 appearances before that game. That's quite something we saw last night, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I hope you've given Rob Brown the gears a little bit for not remembering that he scored the first goal in the last time it happened against Don Beaupre. I think it was interesting though that both Don Beaupre and Dan Bouchard, I believe, played north of 600 games in the National Hockey League. So, you know, some veteran goalies have had this happen to them. But obviously, it's a night to forget. You know, Dave Tippett is going to give Mikko Koskinen another start. He does not want him to go into the postseason off that kind of outing. And in fairness, I mean, the first two are just rockets. I mean, perfectly placed shots. Not much of a chance. The other two are ones that obviously you expect Koskinen to stop, especially as you point out how well he's played in the last couple of months, ever since Mike Smith returned to lineup. I still think they're a good tandem. I don't think it was his night. I don't think it was the Oilers' night. And quite frankly, Bob, you know, when you've lost six in a row and you play as hard as the Canucks do, generally speaking, you're due for a few bounces. They got plenty of them last night.
Jack, you just kind of shake your head. Connor had three more points last night. I think he's got 27 points in his last 10 games. He has 30 more points than any player on any other team other than the Oilers. It's crazy what we're watching this year, isn't it?
Well, he's almost got a 20-point lead on Leon Draisaitl. I mean, you know, he's having a remarkable season. I know you've been chatting a little bit with Wayne Gretzky, and I think, you know, the game's greatest player of all time has said it perfectly. He's found another level. He's found another gear. And, you know, I had an opportunity to actually talk with a couple of Wayne's old teammates, both of whom are in the Hall of Fame recently, and they both said, you know, at some point in their second or third year, they can remember kind of glowing over Wayne's statistics at whatever point in the year it was, 82, 83, 84. And he said, you know what, that's all past me now. I mean, until we win a cup, I don't want to hear about anything. And I think, to some degree, I think, not that he wasn't there before, but I just feel like Connor McDavid is in that space right now. He's single-minded of purpose. I don't know whether you caught it, Bob, but, you know, another thing that really struck me is Adam Larson the other day. He goes, I don't know what it is, but there's something about this team. I feel like within that room, Edmonton's expectations are that they are in it for the long run here. I think a lot of the teammates believe that they're ripe for a long run here in May and June. And that may sound, you know, somewhat – people are going to be skeptical of that, especially after last night's game. But I think the greater picture, I think this team, led by its captain, Connor McDavid, feels like they're capable of doing a lot more than just getting out of the first round.
Yeah, it's been an interesting campaign, to say the least. Jack, I mean, on paper, maybe Edmonton doesn't have the deepest team, but have they gotten, you know, more out of their team than maybe some people thought?
Well, Well, I mean, the biggest thing for me, Bob, and I'm going to go back to the Cam Talbot year, is I think, again, you know, last night, exception noted, they've had the best tandem in the North Division. It's not close. And, you know, the way Mike Smith is playing right now, I'm sorry, but other than Andre Vasilevsky and Philip Grubauer, I don't think, you know, and Marc-Andre Fleury maybe, who else has had a better season than Mike Smith? So if you've got this, I'm not saying he's the fourth best goalie in the league, but he may very well have had the fourth best season in the league. So we're talking about this year, and this Mike Smith is playing as well as anyone else. And when you've got a guy like that, combined with two of the best five players on the planet, and I'll be conservative there and say two of the best five players on the planet, you've got a guy who, for whatever reason, is not in the Norris conversation, but he should be. I mean, Darnell Nurse is having a great year. And I know people get on Tyson Barrie, but, I mean, the guy's second in the league in points for defensemen. I mean, he's had a pretty good year, too. The Oilers have a lot of talent. And if they're goaltender,
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
He continues to play this well. I do believe they're capable of a significant run, not just getting out of the first round.
This texter comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. D says, Bob, the drinking game that none of us would be able to survive would be one where you take a drink every time Bob mentioned tree planting or playing for the Southside Athletic Club. And my response to that would be, had I played better for the Southside Athletic Club, I wouldn't have had to have gone tree planting. But that's another story for another time.
Well, you've also got that famous line, I had the neither the skill, the will, the, you know, you do have some patented phrases.
I can't believe.
We all have come to know and love. And you know what you've got to do for me? Well, you know what? I'll ask Kathy to do it. I mean, that's one of those things when you're old and gray and, you know, 75 and seated at the head table being honored for great contributions to Edmonton broadcasting. I want to be able to reel off about 12 or 15 of your greatest hits, because I think we'll all be able to appreciate them more in retrospect than perhaps we do right now.
I believe the line is, I lack the speed, talent, agility, coordination, toughness, character, and discipline to have advanced beyond playing for Stu McGregor at the Southside Athletic Club and making it to
that's the
12-team WHL. Hey, by the way,
why do you have to slip in the 12-team WHL? You just can't help yourself, can you?
It was a good league back then. It's not as good league now. But the Edmonton Oil Kings, I felt bad for those kids. I mean, they went to regular because they could have won. Jack, like, the WHL has not had strong teams at the Memorial Cup. They had an extra first round pick this year. They would have been able to bring in a couple of European players.
Well, they've had some strong teams, Bob. At times, I think you'd agree with me. They've just completely run out of gas at the wrong time.
Yeah.
The effort to get out of the Western Hockey League playoffs has, I think, taxed them more than some of the other league champions. Now, you may disagree, and I would respect that because you know junior hockey a great deal better than me. But as an outside observer, and I don't know whether you'd agree with this, but I would like your thoughts on it. Last 10 years, I could think of three or four Western Hockey League teams that, to me, were running on fumes by the time they got to the Memorial Cup.
Well, that's why they shortened the season. Kelowna had the team with Drysdale and Morrissey that was good enough to win, and the coach just dressed the line the wrong. Like, you know, they lost an overtime game to Oshawa, but they saddled Leon with like a 10-goal score on his wing in the gold medal game. Like, I'll never understand why he did that. So, very quickly, Jack, final one for you. Just Kulikov took a maintenance day today. Dave Tippett's saying we'll see where he's at tomorrow. We know Mike Smith is starting. Just your thought on the Oilers breaking up McDavid and Drysdale for the fourth and final game against Vancouver.
Well, again, I think Dave Tippett is going to be tinkering down the stretch. I also think he wants the entire league on notice that what they may see, you know, at the start of a game isn't maybe what they see at the end of a game. He likes the fact that McDavid, Drysdale being together is always a weapon that's lurking over every game the Oilers play, even if they don't start together. I think that in and of itself is a major weapon for Dave Tippett, psychologically as much as physically. Just the fear of when those two will be on the ice. And there's some patterns there. I mean, I think, you know, obviously we see it. So opposing coaches know you're probably going to see them together after a penalty kill. You're probably going to see them together in the last minute of a period. But just the fear of knowing that they could be together at any point in the game, I think is yet another advantage Edmonton carries into the postseason.
Jack, great stuff. Thanks for the drinking game. I've never heard of the Centurion game. I'm going to have to look that one up. I'm not going
to
play it with
you. When we get back on the road and the world returns to normal, I'll be glad to take you out and show you all those games, Bob, and I'll even call a cab for you at the end of the night.
All right. Do not try this at home. That is Jack Michaels joining. See you tomorrow, Jack, from the Oilers Radio Network and NHL Hockey and Rogers and Sportsnet. All right. We go to today's top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Get your AC today with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. Again, the Oilers a full practice today. Dmitry Kulikov took a maintenance day. Dave Tippett saying after practice, they'll monitor him for tomorrow. William Lagesson was in his slot. The Oilers switched out their top two lines. They had McDavid with Cahoon and Paul Yarby. I think for whatever reason, Cahoon, maybe he's played with a little bit more jump when he's been with Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Kyler Yamamoto. McDavid, 27 points last 10 games, 17 points in 8 against Vancouver this year. Draisaitl, 5 goals, 16 points in 8 games against Vancouver this year. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 5 goals in his last 28 games. Kyler Yamamoto, 3 goals in his last 33 games. Another texter puts in and says, Bob, I'll go with I digress. But we know that Kyler Yamamoto needs to work on his shot the offseason. The Oilers also had Kara with Shore and Archibald. To the Oilers Now injury report brought to you on a daily basis by our friends at James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. And we will tell you that for every goal the Oilers score this season, James H. Brown will donate $100 to 630 Chance Santa's Anonymous. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. So Zach Cassian is out. He's just started to skate. He's dealing with a little bit of a core issue. Chris Russell remains day-to-day. Slater Cuckoo was actually paired with Evan Bouchard today. Still not quite ready to return. Oscar Klefbom, obviously, off-season shoulder surgery. Nygaard and Haas are on the active roster, but both dealing with minor tweaks. They skated with the extra guys today as well. So that's a look at Edmonton. Vancouver has 8 separate players out, including Elias Pettersson, who's got a wrist problem. Beagle, Roussel, a pair of bottom six forwards out. Furland shut down for the year. Concussion, never got off and playing. Brandon Sutter with a upper body issue, a pending UFA. Jake Virtanen on administrative leave. Tyler Mott and Michaelis also out. Anything else around the league of note for you, Brendan Escott?
Dustin Brown will miss the rest of the season, and Tom Wilson with that upper body injury that knocked him out of the Melee game will play tonight.
There you go. He's back in there. Do you want to tell you there's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. And Brent Ridge Ford is a 10-time President's Award winner for customer satisfaction. Open 6 days a week to serve you while following all COVID protocols to protect both customers and staff. Uncle Milt says they're low on used vehicle inventory. Now's the time to give them a call if you were looking to maybe sell your vehicle. Let the gang at Brent Ridge Ford lend a hand at 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. You had multiple options today, Brendan Escott, for this day in Oilers history. For Dennis and Jason Laliberte, the team at New West Travel, what do you got for us?
We went back to 1987 when Grant Fuhr turned aside 17 of 18 shots and Mark Messier scored twice. The Oilers beat the Red Wings 4-1 at Northlands to tie the Campbell Conference Final 1-1.
The other option you could have gone with was Game 2, 1985 Campbell Conference Final against the Chicago Blackhawks at the Coliseum. The Edmonton Oilers bombed the Hawks 7-2. That was the highest scoring playoff series in NHL history. Yari Curry had a hat trick that day. The Oilers also lost Game 2 to the Red Wings in 1988. It might have been Game 3. I'm thinking it might have been in Detroit, 1988 of their playoff series against Detroit on this date. So, of note tomorrow, I'm not going to say. Let's just say somebody, in my opinion, played their best game ever as an Oiler this day in history tomorrow. Check it out on Twitter. I'll have to put that out there. What does Reed Wilkins have coming up on Inside Sports?
You will hear from Global Edmonton sports reporter and anchor Quinn Phillips. She just won an award from the Canada West division. Edmonton Oil Kings forward Josh Williams on the conclusion of that season and general manager and executive golf pro Murray McCourt from the Ranch Golf and Country Club.
All right, awesome for Quinn Phillips. That was the precursor. Gus Collins was a longtime Canada West statistician. And of course, I was the SID at the University of Alberta from 2000 to 2008, and we came up with that award. John Short was the winner of the Fred Scambatti National Award. Jason Hills has also won that award. It's terrific seeing Quinn being honored for all of the tremendous stories and work that she's done on U Sports. Brendan, are you back on today, 4 to 6? Is that what's going on here?
You betcha. Closing out the week on 6:30 Chet Afternoons.
There we go. We've got a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by a simulcast of Rob Breckenridge, CHQR 770 out of Calgary. And then Brendan Escott will bring you home from 4 to 6 tonight. Reed Wilkins, 6 to 8. I'll rejoin you tomorrow. It'll be Reed, Rob, Cam Moon, myself, Jack Michaels will have the play-by-play call. The Edmonton Oilers, the Vancouver Canucks face-off show, 6:30, puck drop, 8 o'clock. See you then.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.